Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. It's time for this week's matchup show. This show we're talking about the defense. And as always, I'm joined by my friend and co-host, Frazier Tafar. Frazier, how you doing?
Doing good, Ken. Glad to be back on for another matchup show. I know we missed last week on a short week, unfortunate game against the Bengals. But really trying to bounce back. Fortunately, back to first place, even though we had a disastrous performance on Thursday night. So now let's see if we can solidify our first place standing against the Pittsburgh Steelers this week.
Let's hope so. The Ravens can win any four of the next five games and they win the division. So they'll hold their own destiny in their own hands, amazingly, even if they lose this game. But the ice is getting thinner as we see a huge amount of leverage involved in this game today. All right, let's get to the defense. What's your first matchup?
Yep. Speaking of huge, my first matchup is the Ravens secondary versus Washington and Metcalf. They are easily their best two targets. You could throw Pat in there too, but really it's the Washington and Metcalf show. Arthur Smith has shown the ability to put Metcalf in multiple different spots in the field, whether it be in jet motion, orbit motion, going across the field, whether it be in the slide position on the PA boot, just continuing to put him in different places in space and make it easier for him to get involved in the game instead of trying to go for the deep shots over the top, which can be hit or miss with not with him specifically, but he's always going to get the double team because Pittsburgh really doesn't have a formidable receiver on the other side. I don't know if Thielen's going to go this week. I'll be curious to see that, but if he can't go, then really, it's going to be Metcalf on the outside and then Washington over the middle. Naturally, we're expecting Hamilton to contain that, but I think it's going to be a tall task for him to cover him one-on-one. Obviously, he's rangy, he's lengthy, but it's a physical aspect to Washington that can be imposing. And Hamilton has been nicked up these past couple of weeks, and we don't want to exaggerate that with this kind of matchup going against a 6'7", almost 300-pound tight end.
He is massive, that's for sure. A guy I thought would have certainly converted offensive tackle by now, but you know, he's a player who poses a lot of challenges. Kind of reminds me of Eric Green, who was a Steelers and Ravens tight end back in the late 80s and into the 90s, played for the Ravens in 96, and I believe in 97 too, but he was about that same size. I mean, he was about 6'5", so just a little shorter, and he weighed over 300 pounds, but he was certainly a load. It probably will be mostly Hamilton that would be covering him. It could be Humphrey on some dime snaps potentially, and a lot of that depends on how the Ravens decide to line up. And whether or not Wiggins can play. Wiggins is an enormous factor if Metcalf is on the field in terms of potentially just trailing Metcalf, I would think, given the weakness of the receivers that the Steelers could put out there.
I was really curious to see if Wiggins does travel with Metcalf. Obviously, the physical aspect is going to be a mismatch. I think they're probably going to have him play underneath of Metcalf as much as possible because he has that recovery speed to catch up to the ball, and then have either Starks or Gilman bracketing over top to give him that extra net. I think that probably would be the best approach, because trying to go head on against Metcalf, I don't think we have a corner that can do that. Maybe Humphrey, but Metcalf's an animal.
Right. It's what you can take away from him, and you can't take away the perfect pass no matter what. So with Metcalf, you're concerned about a lot of different routes that he can run. But in terms of the back shoulder throw, I think Wiggins is the best to take that away. In terms of bracketing, you force Rodgers into a difficult position. If you give him just a little bit of pressure and you have an under and over, he'd probably prefer to go somewhere else. But, watching Rodgers play these last few weeks, it hasn't been very impressive.
Yeah.
I think pretty much I'll get into some things, but I think every hit is going to be a big deal. And I think you got a good one there. I'm not concerned at all about Adam Thielen playing. He's been terrible this year, but for Minnesota, huge number of drops. He's hardly played. He says some ridiculously low, like 3.4 yards per target or something so far this year. So it's I'm not concerned at all about him coming to the Steelers.
Sure.
All right, I'll move on. I'm going to go with Warren and Gainwell versus the Ravens inside linebacker Smith and Buchanan. There is a potential problem with missed tackles looming in this game. And this could have been extended to the safeties tackling to Hamilton and to Gilman, in particular to Starks. It's got to start up front where they use the interior size to deny movement in the run game. And the Ravens, one thing they do have is the biggest interior defensive lineman in the whole league. I don't know why Travis Jones has missed a practice with a non-injury concern. He wasn't on the first day, but somebody said, so I think it was Voss told me that he actually missed both days of practice. So I wonder what happened and whether or not he's really going to be available on Sunday. But obviously he's enormous in both in actual size and in terms of his impact on this football game. They need to limit the ability of those IOLs to climb, get fewer level two first opportunities. I always, you know, talk in those terms, but Smith needs to have a high quality game in terms of flowing to the football. And that's something he's been mostly good, and he's occasionally been great this year at that. And we need a really high quality game in this. You've got the best tackle breaking pair of backs in the entire National Football League. Warren has caused 0.25 missed tackles forced per attempt, which is better than Henry in 2024 to frame that up. And I think he might've been better last year anyway. But he's also 0.56 missed tackles forced per attempt on receptions. And it's actually not that few receptions. It's 14 receptions with, I want to say it's like 15 missed tackles.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, 29 targets with 15 missed tackles is what he's got. Okay, so I might have miscalculated. That might be slightly lower, but it's still over 0.5. Gainwell is also 10 of 44, a 0.23 missed tackle force rate on his receptions. The Ravens don't have anybody nearly as good in these terms. So it's scary to go up against these guys. And these are players that need to be contained, particularly on early downs. The Ravens, without having a really good edge setter in the house, also is a little scary. So these inside linebackers are going to have a bigger role. They need to move quickly to cover outlet backs. You need to make downhill tackles on these guys. You basically hit them as soon as they get the football. You don't have to play any kind of loose bracket. You have to play for the second man fumbles as opposed to going at the high point for the ball itself. And they need to, you know, if they're effective doing it, this will force Rodgers to throw to win the game.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head.
Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's changing the game, Mood.com. They created an entirely line of functional gummies, 100% federally legal THC blends, discreetly delivered right to your doorstep. And here's the best part. You can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with the promo code Ravens. Now, I've tried a bunch of their gummies myself. Each one's totally unique. The Sleepy Time gummies knock me out right away. They help me unwind fast, leave me refreshed the next morning. The Epic Euphoria gummies, they're perfect for when your day just isn't going the way you want it to go. What makes Mood special is how they pair the THC with natural herbs and adaptogens. You won't find blends like this at any local shop. They've got gummies designed for focus, relaxation, clarity, even energy, all made from cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no shortcuts, just high-quality weed you can trust. Plus, Mood backs everything with a 100-day satisfaction guarantee. So head on over to Mood.com, check out their amazing selection, and don't forget to use the promo code Ravens at checkout to save 20% off your first order.
I think if we can tackle Warren and Gainwell, it would be a big difference in the game because they're something else. Warren, especially after contact, he scares me. I mean, he runs hard for some reason. I think he runs harder against us. He puts the metal to the floor. And then Gainwell has been coming on strong as well all year. He's a second-year player?
No, Gainwell's been around the league for a while with Philadelphia. I think he's fifth year probably.
Okay. Yeah, he's came on strong. He's shown an extra burst. So I think if we're able to stop them and force them to either bounce to help or bounce to the outside, I think that's probably what we need to do in terms of reducing those missed tackles. But you're right with Roquan Smith needing to really flow over the top and get to his spots. I think we need to see a replication of that Browns game that we saw earlier in the year, this game, because if he can take over in that same manner, it's going to be a long day.
That's asking a lot, by the way. That was probably among the greatest football games ever played by a Ravens inside linebacker, and Ray Lewis played a few games at inside linebacker with the Ravens, so it's right up there.
Yep. Moving on to my next point, I have the Ravens pass rush versus the Steelers pass protection. Specifically talking about the four-man rush, I want to really see an emphasis on making Rodgers uncomfortable from the get-go. We don't need him getting set. We don't need him getting comfortable. The main thing is I want to see push from Travis Jones up the middle, really against their center, Frazier. He has a tendency to get pushed back, really has a weaker anchor. So I really want to see stunts going through him. Really, I want to see Travis on the under really force the hand of the guard in the center to see what they're going to do on the loop. And then just continuing to see pressure from Jones, pressure from Green. Really, if we want to be successful in the playoffs, it all starts with a four-man rush, and we need to start taking advantages of these lines who are lesser than. So then when we get into real game action against these formidable offensive lines, we can go in with a little more scheme rather than, you know, trying to just hit the nail on the head and hopefully it goes in.
You know, I'm hopeful the four-man rush can produce something. That can be various forms of four-man rush. I'm okay if they drop someone to cover and bring Hamilton, stunt through the A-gap, come off the edge, whatever it might be, create an overload somewhere. You know, this is a game where all scheme is on the table to be used. It's not, you don't have to hold back on anything in a game like this. It's absolutely, the Ravens season all but rides on it. The leverage from winning this game is about 50 percentage points, about a 75% chance to make the playoffs if they win the game, about a 25% if they lose it, depending on whose version of the simulations you look at. All right, I'll move on. I think that the next one I'll come up with is safeties versus Rodgers. And this is all three safeties. This is a good game for robber options. The Steelers have probably a desire to throw in the middle of the field to tight ends especially, but also even to Metcalf or crossing patterns to other receivers. It's Rodgers is not really a big deep ball thrower anymore. The arm is, I don't say it's the kind of limp noodle that Manning had at the end of his career, but he looks like he's throwing with significant discomfort right now, and that's impacting his accuracy for sure. Hamilton has to be used in whatever role helps the team the most and with variety. I want this to be a game where sometimes they have him on Washington. Sometimes he's rushing the passer. Sometimes he's run blitzing. If they want to figure out a special robber look, like what caused the interception against Cleveland a couple of years ago now, where he tipped the ball up and tipped it to himself kind of thing. Great time to go for those kind of things. Second man to the ball skills and hunting turnovers by the safety is very important. Gilman's been good at it. It's something Humphrey has done well at. He's not a safety yet, but he's a guy who can also hunt that second man in. Rodgers, as needed, all hits are good hits is what I'll just say. Anytime you can knock Rodgers down, or you can even hit him, even if he maintains his balance and his feet, it's a good thing. He's in a lot of pain in that left arm. You got to make him feel that and make him fear that pain as the game goes on. I think they need to tackle at the catch point, particularly with the big tight ends. With both, Freiermuth is less of this, but Washington certainly is a guy you want to go low at the catch point on. In the case of Freiermuth, you want to hit him at the catch point when possible, and that's important. I want to see good half field play to take away Metcalf from the two safeties as best they can. So you got an over the top bracket, you got a little bit of pressure. That's a good formula to potentially get a pick against Rodgers. The other thing is I want the safeties play the sticks in this game. So basically I want them to be very aggressive at trying to catch the Steelers 1 to 2 yards short. That doesn't help against a team like Detroit, because a 4th and 1 or a 4th and 2 is still a pretty good opportunity for them. They realize it. Really helps against a team like the Steelers, where Tomlin's conservatism will cost him expected points and expected wins if the Steelers come up with 4th and 1, 4th and 2 any number of times in the game. It's something where Tomlin is consistently one of the leaders in terms of cowardly punts in the entire NFL.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that this game. We're going to see how many times he does do that. Really, it would be interesting to see if he deviates from that, especially because this is really a must-win game for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But to your point about the robber concept, really the main successful scheme that they run is when they mud the underneath with 2 or 3 receivers grabbing the either a linebacker or the safety's attention, and then they throw it right over into that in between the 2nd and 3rd level.
Yep.
That's usually their target area most of the time. So if we're able to get a Loey Gilman or Starks going downhill on those plays, I mean, it could be a long day, really.
Yeah, obviously taking missteps into you know the area just past the line of scrimmage is a recipe for trouble. If Washington gets the ball between level 2 and level 3, that can be a lot of yardage potentially.
Yep.
All right, Frazier, always fun doing this show with you. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
You guys can reach me at Twitter/X at F_Rave8. That's F_RAVE8.
All right. Appreciate all you listeners. If you got ideas for shorts, hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. Otherwise, try and find that one other person who hasn't heard the show yet and turn them on to it, whether it means just logging on to the website and playing the podcast directly from there. For Frazier Tapar, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye. We'll talk to you next time on Matchups. Oh.